You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 2, Episode 4, Inga Mummy Girl. A beautiful Inca princess who was buried alive in a tomb 500 years ago is accidentally brought back to life in the Sunnydale Natural History Museum.
Fantastic. And now my out-of-tune theme tune.
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm Chris. Hello.
Hello, Chris.
Welcome, Chris. You can continue to be Gax. Just put the C before the K.
Yes.
There you go.
Or G-Sac.
Ooh, G-Sac.
Some kind of gangster hip-hop name.
That's not where my mind went.
No.
Okay. My mind went, of course, to Lost. The Gural Sack.
Oh, no.
Well, let's tell the audience where Chris is from. Chris is from England.
Yes.
And he does the 11th Hour podcast.
With Joe,
which is a Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, it is.
Will we be hearing will you be recording anytime soon?
We're getting this a lot. If we don't record one within the next couple of weeks, then we're going to have to, because there's going to be a Sarah Jane Adventures two-parter with the 11th Doctor, played by Matt Smith, appearing, with a companion not seen since the 1970s by the name of Jo Grant, except she now goes by Jo Jones. So her and Sarah Jane Smith, once again, Smith and Jones.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. This means nothing to everyone else.
I know.
Will you and Joe be doing any retro pre-revival podcasts?
Yes, I hope so. Awesome. And you know full well that we're going to be doing that because we're trying to court you to be on one.
You don't have to try very hard.
I know.
All right. So, Inca Mummy Girl.
Guess what? Sunnydale has a natural history museum.
and a bus depot.
Yes.
Or a bus depot, if you prefer.
Yes, depot.
I would tend to say depot.
Where do they find kids like Rodney? Is that his name? What a complete moron.
He was the class clown according to Wikipedia.
Really?
I have recently seen that episode. He tries a bit too hard. I remember.
Lord of mercy.
Mm-hmm. I must say, the worst archaeological looter ever. That's not how you loot.
Illyrio, being an archaeologist, is this not right up your alley?
Technically, I'm not an archaeologist. I have an anthropology degree specializing in archaeology, and I have performed archaeological things, but no one's technically paid me to do archaeology, which I think is what should serve as whether or not you can be classified, quote-unquote, an archaeologist.
You've never stolen a plate from a mummified corpse and then smashed it within 1 second.
No, but I have been in an ancient Mayan cave where we were all students and we were there mapping it. We were around the second group of 15 people to have ever been in there. Now they actually take people through tours. And one of us, not myself, dropped a plumb bob right through a 2,800-year-old skull. And nobody owned up. Let me tell you, we could have used a crime club. But it was definitely something that was interesting. I mean, I specialized more in like Central American stuff. The Inca weren't really my bag. The Maya were more up my alley. But it was definitely kind of, you know, it was cool that, you know, they kind of mentioned that kind of older stuff. But I don't know at what point any of it was based in any reality. Although I did, you know, think it was weird that Ricardo Montalban's younger self made an appearance in this episode.
Con!
I enjoyed this episode a lot more than I thought I would. A lot more than I thought I would. I was expecting, oh, this is going to be one of these monsters of the week, blah, blah, blah. And it was, I really, really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the second half a lot better than the first half. But yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah, I think with the bigger budget and the better production value, it makes the, I feel like I said this last week, it makes the Monster of the Week stories a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
All right, do we want to get into feedback?
Sure.
All right, I want to read this from Brad. You know Brad that does the haikus?
Mm-hmm.
He sent in fake spoilers for 5x5 nice. For the fifth episode of the fifth season. Okay, Giles comes out of retirement to give Angel, who is still wearing his funny hat, a stern talking to about his old-fashioned overt racism. Meanwhile, at the Bronze, evil goatee and eye-patch-wearing Xander from the future comes back to kill Jenny Callender's leprechaun baby with his laser eye. Luckily, little Clover escapes with the help of techno-zombie Willow, and they run away to Principal Snyder's ski chalet, where Cordy falls in love with Clover, who enchants her. She has a psychic vision of Buffy losing her job as an ironic fashion model, only to be replaced by a Bill and Ted-style slaying robot.
Excellent!
Present day, Xander and Captain Paul, I don't know what a lot of this is referring to. Present day, Xander and Captain Paul continue looking for the Emperor's Sphere and accidentally fulfill a prophecy foretold in critical planned Victorian-era vampire poetry. Thus, Dracula returns from the dead. Many kittens die in the process, and we find out Buffy's dad is a quarter demon and has a devil hoof. He then becomes manager of a traveling tween gypsy warehouse boy band. Wait a minute. He then becomes manager of a traveling tween gypsy werewolf boy band. Buffy remains in the hospital the whole episode, only appearing in prophecy sequence.
Wow.
That's bizarre.
One of the more interesting acid flashbacks I've ever read.
That was an acid flash forward, though. They're somewhat rarer.
I still don't know what 5x5 means, but I'm looking forward to figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the show or in real life?
In the show.
Okay. In real life, it's got something to do with, I seem to recall it's got something to do with radio reception.
Yeah.
Like, it's the highest quality.
Right. It's either a CB term or a military term or something. It's code for everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I
did used to hear that sort of stuff on CB, but like with various accents. Also, Wall to Wall and Treetop Tall.
Nice.
Good buddy.
Oh, yeah, Wall to Wall. Yeah.
This is an email from Ace K. Hi, Gax, plus initial of whoever is appearing this week. I've been listening to your show since it began, but I haven't responded until now. I've been a fan of Buffy since the original airing, and I believe it was about 5 years. I was about 5 years old.
Oh.
Growing up with Buffy was very cool, and it definitely helped me get through some hard times. It's been a blast listening to you guys chat about the early episodes of Buffy, even with the terrible ones. Unfortunately, you guys aren't done with those yet, and the worst has yet to come. But each bad episode still has an element of fun to them, as well as the hilarious one-liners we all love. And trust me, Xander will get his moment to shine. David Boreanaz's acting is pretty wooden now, but it's definitely fun to see him grow as an actor, and I know you guys can see the difference on Bones and even on Angel. Speaking of which, I really recommend you guys watch that too, because it's such a great show, and you're gonna want to see Cordelia grow as a character. Winks at Kim. I also think that Angel is the superior show, but you guys should really decide that for yourselves. Thank you, I think we will. And as for the Twilight similarities, I think Buffy really hit the nail on the head when She says, stalking is not a big turn-on for girls. Meanwhile, may I point your attentions to this gem? And there's a YouTube video. I don't think it has too many spoilers, but Buffy vs. Edward is really something to watch. I gotta run now, but I can't wait for your comments on what happens later in this season. Dun, dun, dun.
Thanks, Faith.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have an announcement related to this. We all got this awesome picture in our Twitter feeds from Kim.
Yeah.
Because your sister gave you a gift.
Yeah, when she moved to England, she left me a whole bunch of DVDs and other randomness. And I didn't even know she watched Angel, but it's like the complete series she left for me. And I was like, ooh, sweet.
Yes. So this means, you know, the fates have conspired and we will also be watching Angel.
Yeah, we have to decide how we're going to do it because I want to watch it with Buffy, but I don't want to incorporate the discussion of Angel with Buffy because a lot of people haven't, they've watched Buffy, but they haven't watched Angel and they don't want to be spoiled on Angel or they don't care for Angel. So we got to decide how we're going to do it. If we're going to like wait and talk about Angel at the end of the episode.
I think that would be better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I mean, what I think.
Like we could do a whole other podcast if we wanted to as well.
Have like an angel epilogue.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But we have a while to go before then, so we can decide later.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Any other email we want to get to? Oh, here's one on Inca Mummy Girl from Emily. Shall we?
Yes.
I nominate Gabby.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, Gabby.
All right. Okay. So there is a really good reason why season two is my favorite season. Inca Mummy Girl isn't the reason why. I'll say this. That's awesome. I'll say this. The sum of season two is better than its parts, and its strong points make up for its weaker elements. At this point, you might be getting a bit frustrated. Hold on just a bit longer because there is some really good stuff down the road. In terms of story, there is not much here, and there is much better filler episodes coming down the pipe. But the story is interesting, and the script has a lot of great lines. It's a very meh episode, and it's really forgettable, but it's not terrible. I like the parallel between Buffy and Empata, and I also enjoyed other stories about Xander's lack of a love life. Plus, Seth Green makes an appearance. This episode is also another stunning example that Sunnydale High students should not go on field trips. Where do they get the funding for all of these anyway? I never went on a field trip in high school. This episode has Cordelia being pointless again. Her scenes are full of so much filler. How bad is it that an episode with this much filler needs scenes with more filler? You know how I cannot explain why season two is my second favorite season. I also cannot explain why by the end of Buffy and Angel, Cordelia became one of my favorite Buffyverse characters. You will not believe me, even if I spoil you. But please, guys, really, when you get to the point in the timeline, watch Angel. Watch it alongside Buffy. It will take more time, but it's the only way you'll get the whole Buffyverse experience. If you want to fully understand the complexities and layers of some of these Buffy characters, you need the Angel series. If it helps, Angel's last season will make you bawl your fracking eyes out. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Emily. although I must have a correction. I don't think the mummy's name was Empata. I believe that was the misfortunate...
Correct.
Yeah. That was the boy.
Exchange student. With the shirt that was way too big for him.
And he looked like he was wearing mom jeans too. Like it was really weird.
Yeah, it was mom
jeans and half shirts. Just running in this particular episode. It was fantastic.
How many more weeks or episodes do we have to watch Willow get kicked while she's down? Like, it's so sad.
140.
But she's so cute when she's all sad and, you know.
It's so pitiful. And watching Xander just be such a douche is really getting annoying.
It is.
He's making up for it with quips. He really is.
He actually
I think
does.
The quip to ignoring Willow ratio is actually quite balanced right now. And I'll take it.
Oh,
it's only fair.
He's so blind.
Mm. But she's his best friend.
Yeah, so I don't think he's really being a douche. Yeah, he doesn't feel anything for her. Just friendship.
You either feel a thing or you don't.
Right.
Yeah, but his constant fawning over Buffy still is also getting annoying.
That I would agree with.
Yes.
I would.
Yeah. She shot him down. He's still being like he is right in front of Willow. And come on, he's got to know. He has to know she likes him.
He's probably in denial.
Yeah.
He probably just doesn't want to deal with it because he's scared that, you know.
They'd ruin the friendship.
He'd ruin the friendship. He'd lose his best friend. And then he'd be even a bigger loser than he was before.
Yeah. You know?
And that's really what most guys are afraid of.
Really?
Yeah.
You waiting me to back? Waiting for me to back you up on this one?
No, I don't need any backup. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There's the secret, ladies, and I'll edit it all out. Emily mentioned something interesting. She never had field trips in high school. I remember having a field trip. Do you guys had field trips
in high school? I had a field trip. Yeah.
My favorite was, of course, Upper Canada Village.
I've never been there.
You know what it is, though.
I know what it is.
Yeah, halfway between Montreal and Kingston, there's this place called Morrisburg, Ontario, and not far from there is a place called Upper Canada Village where people wear period costumes and pretend that they're in the 1800s.
Huzzah! That's not someone.
I remember when I was in the 8th grade, it was like the first year that the public school didn't send the grade 8 grad trip to Montreal. So we went halfway between Toronto and Montreal. We went to Kingston and we went to the Kingston Penitentiary.
Nice.
Yay. And that was the same year where Paul Bernardo was in that.
Ooh,
in
so there was a headliner.
Yeah, it was
nice.
Yeah.
You toured the prison?
Yes, we did.
Wow.
Yeah.
They call it Disneyland. The locals call it Disneyland because it looks like one of those stereotypical Disney castles with the pointy turrets and stuff.
Yes.
That sounds crazy, man.
Yeah. Kingston is a university/penitentiary town.
Wow.
Yeah, it is where my beautiful wife, well, almost common-law, it's where Christine spent her teenage and, you know, like teenage and high school years and, her mom is a university professor over there, and it's a half-horse town that's very quaint.
Mm-hmm.
Did either of our American friends have field trips in high school?
I don't remember. I think I was in the band, and I think we went, you know... We
anywhere
would
where
have
dance
things.
Didn't go, right?
Do what now?
You went anywhere where dance didn't go because of the big band dance rivalry?
Oh!
Yeah. Come on, Steph, keep up.
Yeah, I forgot about that rivalry.
I must say, this is all lost on me, Chaps.
Sorry, Chris.
You're welcome.
Chris, in the the puppet show episode, we found out there's a big rivalry between the band and dancers.
Oh, of course. Sorry, never mind. I thought it was one of those American school things that we didn't have, like jocks and proms and, you know, douchebags. We didn't have. We called them wankers.
Did you go on field trips?
I don't remember.
Oh, secret.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
In secondary school, I don't remember doing much of that. No. It's true.
That's high school.
Yes, it is. Sorry.
Well, we call it secondary school here as well, but...
I'm going to have to translate, aren't I?
No, feel free. Just, you know... You don't have to. If people really want to know what you're saying, that they
no, my school had a very, very terrible reputation, though. So I imagine they weren't keen on having people in. I don't recall much. I mean, we used to go to museums in primary school, which you may know as grade school. But
yeah, here, like starting out in kindergarten, you go on lots of field trips, and every year you go on less and less.
Yes. Hmm.
Isn't that just because the teachers want an excuse to like smoke outside? No. Gabby, no. did you have any fond field trip memories?
From high school, no. I think there was a senior trip to Washington D.C., but I remember it costing a lot of money.
Did you pay for your field trips?
Yeah, for away, like faraway trips. That yes, absolutely.
Mm. Oh yeah, we did too.
God bless socialism.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did not go on that trip. But I think I was working too, because I was saving up money for the prom. That's right.
See, that's where they get you, right? They get you with the prom.
Proms are crazy expensive, as I recall.
Yeah, senior year is very expensive.
Is there going to be a prom episode on Buffy?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yay!
And how
do they just end up going bowling, because that's I think what happened at my prom.
Oh god.
Oh, don't worry, it's not like I was invited to go bowling.
Well, I'm gonna have to run the same gamut as Steph on this one, because I've seen all of Buffy as well, so it's gonna be grand fun just stepping around things.
Yes.
And also not swearing, because my podcast has got an explicit tag and I'm quite a free swearer on it. So I'm trying to rein it in a bit here, ladies. And Illyria.
Me too.
You can say whatever the fuck you want, because I listen to these and I edit them out.
Of course you do.
So yeah. Don't worry about it.
Nice.
Okay, so they go to the Natural History Museum. Idiot with the braces tries to steal the plate.
Rodney
breaks it. Rodney breaks the plate, releasing the mummy, who has the most beautiful eyes, deepest eyes I've ever seen. desiccates him in a matter of seconds.
Nice.
So, when does Ricardo Montalban show up? Because he shows up.
Not too long after that.
Okay, because it was after they. Because I'm trying to remember the order.
They went back to the museum.
Yeah.
And they saw Rodney was in there. Okay. And then that's when he showed up.
Yeah, the mummy had braces. Right?
That's when Xander jumps on his back.
I just saved us, right?
That was quite funny, but random as well.
Yes. Okay, so that's when he first pops up. It's after they went back and they see that, well, they thought the mummy was there, but Rodney was there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this mummy is just an allegory for Buffy.
Yeah.
Yes.
The whole young responsibility, I really can't not do this. And
the chosen one destined to die.
Yes.
There goes one of our points of revelation.
Sorry.
You're welcome.
They're having a student exchange thing. I thought that only happened in college. Did that happen in high school as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of times it happens in high school. Because Desiree's daughter, Skylar, went to Germany a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was about to say, Desiree's got one coming up this year as well, I think. But she said they sort of match age and gender of the child as well. So them sending a male student to Buffy's house, it seems a bit unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because of all the possible, you know, kind of intercontinental shagging. Yeah. Especially since when he arrives, he's got that kind of Mr. Goodbar look. He looks like he's cruising.
He's ready to get some.
I'm sure there's a medallion under there somewhere.
So where did the Inca princess get all her clothes from?
They're his clothes.
Yeah, they're his clothing.
Oh, the dress is his clothing?
Presumably she's borrowed those from Buffy afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Because her suitcases weren't there yet, or she forgot them.
Remember now.
Except that she has arrived with two massive cases, remember?
Mm-hmm.
One full of One full of horrendous man pants and the other a desiccated corpse that moves between shots.
For those of you listening west of the Prime Meridian, pants means underwear.
Sorry.
I got it.
I thought pants were pants, but in fact, pants are trousers.
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
Okay, when...
It's called English, kids. I'll stop now.
Please don't. Why do you think we want you on?
So, okay, Buffy can't go to the dance, and she really wanted to, and... You know, for the longest time, when she's looking longingly at Impada and Xander walking out the door, I was thinking, she wants Xander now that Xander has a girlfriend. But no, she just wished that she could go to the dance.
So Harris is off the table.
Suddenly, I
want his massive shoulders.
Massive shoulders. They're massive.
It's true.
In the next episode, you can actually see them, but, you know, we'll hold off.
Oh, God.
So, we're introduced to this Oz character.
Yes!
Does he have a recurring role, I assume?
I would like to say something right now. I play this very addictive trivia game called Crank, which is awesome. And one of the questions, unfortunately, revealed to me something about that character. Oh, no. I've essentially been spoiled by a trivia game. They were very, very nice. They actually replied to me on Twitter and apologized, but they basically said, we figured, you know, the 7-year-old series would basically be okay. And I said, it's not a problem. I'm thinking one of the alternate answers also spoiled me on something, and I'm really hoping just to turn off my brain and not overthink it. Unfortunately, on Twitter, I also follow Anna Maria Cox, who's a writer, blogger, and political columnist person, and I think she spoiled me on something massive. In fact, I know she spoiled me on something massive. And
but you're trying not to think about it.
Oh, it's impossible not to. It's just something that I now know about one of our characters. And
okay.
It's just, you know, so this Oz character, before even seeing him, as soon as I saw in the credits, Seth Green as Oz, I'm like, oh, that's the guy. So now I'm just, I can't watch this character without waiting to see when this thing about him is revealed. You know what I'm saying?
It's a real sort of a minefield watching, you know, doing your first watch of an old series. Yeah. It must be nightmarish doing something like Twin Peaks. Yeah. I say that, I'm cracking through Babylon 5 at the moment. I've done season 1, but just trying not to find things out about Babylon 5. Which, unfortunately, I have done by reading articles about Star Trek. And I spoiled Joe on something massive about a character in Buffy as well by linking him to that same article. So read the articles first, Chris.
It's always a good idea. It's, honestly, like anytime Steph links an article as potential guest, I avoid it. I avoid any links the potential cast will post. I'll actually avoid most of the links that Steph will post just because I don't want to be spoiled. And the thing is, a lot of people think they're not spoiling you, but because I'm constantly looking for tidbits, I can't read anything without somehow being spoiled. Do you know what I mean? It's definitely a minefield.
The interesting thing about this series, though, is I've watched it all, but I'm currently doing a bit of a rewatch with Joe from the podcast and his other half Seb, or as I often refer to them as, the lads, and I wanted to basically get them ahead so they could listen to potential cast. That's why. But now we've just finished season 3, so we're well ahead. but I've got to the point where I play this game with people. With them when people are new in an episode, asking them whether they think that they are going to be regulars staying in there or just one-shot characters, or they'll appear 2 or 3 times and forget it. Because this program is very good at introducing people. And while you've been distracted by Oz, this series has just introduced someone else in, as far as I'm sure, that self-same episode, but you won't have realized. A character who's in the show much longer than Oz and becomes much more important.
Yep. Interesting. So that's a little...
And just,
I suppose it's a hint, and technically I'm spoiling you a bit, but I'm just so interested. I'm not telling you who it is, you know. I'm just interested
is
in
the lead
how...
singer.
Devon. It's not Devon. At this point, anyone else you mention, I will also say no, even if you guess correctly. So
Rodney?
I'm just saying it's a bit subtle about no.
Rodney.
Remember that I will now say no about anyone else. Rodney will now just be in every... They'll just put him in the background all sort of dried out. He'll act like a
coffee
table.
Yeah, and there's lots of characters like that. Like, there's one, she was in the very first episode, and...
Yes.
You don't really notice her because she just has a line here and there, and then you realize later on she goes all the way,
mm-hmm.
to the very end. Yeah,
is it that little nerdy guy with the glasses who's in Mad Men now? Sorry, so, I like to play detective.
No, this is what happens when you watch things like Read All About It.
Mm.
Or, yeah, like Read All About It with Dunedin and all that stuff on American PBS. And
but remember that I have also told you that if you guess correctly, I will still say no. So
so I just want to mention, yes, Seth Green makes an appearance as Oz. He is a guitar player who is quite short.
Very short.
Yes.
Who cannot play guitar.
he certainly cannot.
Thank God.
Also a point of revelation. Bad
But I will go on record, I will never complain about someone's fake bass playing, just on principle.
So, right. Okay.
Because I don't play that.
My favorite part of the episode was the reveal of Willow's costume. How fantastic was that?
That was the best costume. It's snug.
Very snug.
Yeah. I love how she couldn't move her head. She had to move her entire body.
Yes. Well, it reminded me of A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
When they put the kid in the snow.
Oddly, reminded me of Christian Bale in Batman Begins. but not
in
the dark.
Like this.
Yes,
I'm an Eskimo, damn it.
Although in Canada we refer to them as Inuit.
Inuit.
Yes, the Inuit.
They're technically
rolling.
Two different peoples.
Rolling right Inuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get right into points, shall we?
Okay.
Oh, we weren't? I thought we were.
I'm just saying.
Here's my
I realized also that my Batman sounded more like Jack Bauer because I said, damn it. Sorry about that.
Damn it, listen to me, Cameron. Damn it.
So even though the lead guitar player is not really playing the guitar, Dingo's Ate My Baby rocks. I know I've tweeted that a million times lately.
So that's the name of the band, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's what I Dingo's tried to make out on the bass drum, but because it's still so dark sometimes.
Are they a real band, or is it the
no.
show's band?
I have no idea who creates that music that you hear. Like, this is a band that doesn't exist.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I don't buy that they would do that style of music. It's what's interesting is, and I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but you keep hearing later, Oz will make jokes about them learning more than three chords, and they get reviews about how they played as though they had sausages strapped to their fingers, and Oz says, no, that's perfectly fair. But, like, they're not a bad band, technically.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Which is stupid. It doesn't jive at all with later comments. But to be a high school band called Dingoes Ate My Baby, I'm not doing this sort of a sub, you know, trying to think of a particular...
Meta?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking of a specific band.
They would be rockier. They would be heavier.
I
would
have thought
so. Yeah, they would be less...
I thought they'd be nerdier. They'd be nerdier to start with, and then when there was a sniff of cash, they would start doing the ballads. Like you hear in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think Kim did the Zit Remedy ever have a ballad.
No, they only had one song.
Okay.
Zit Remedy.
Everybody wants something. I only had like one verse. So, no.
What is Zit Remedy?
What?
Sorry. Steph.
What?
Degrassi. Degrassi Junior High.
Stop being so Canadian.
Oh.
Don't make me start talking about the best high school TV high school band ever. Don't make me start talking about the band, B-A-N-N-E-D, from EastEnders. Ian Beale, Sharon on vocals.
Oh, it's not bad.
As a name. I like yeah, but they were bad.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Seth Green, I don't know, he turns me off. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the height. I don't know if it's because he's a ginger. I don't know if it's.
Illyria, let me put you to mind that I wouldn't worry too much about Ozzy's hair color because it doesn't really settle on one for any length of time. Mm-hmm. It will eventually go through one that you quite like. His beard isn't very convincing on this one. It looks more like he's got. It's sucking on a tailpipe. He's got some soot. But because it's no stranger in my marriage, the way I feel about Spike, that it's no stranger in my marriage how my wife feels about Oz. Because she quite likes Spike as well, but immediately from the off, she likes Oz. And Oz remains excellent. He becomes quite the groovy sort of... He behaves in a way that you wish you had when you were a younger chap, Illyrio, trust me.
Yeah.
Unless I already did, and that's
why. Well, perhaps you did. You're an amazing gentleman. But,
Oz is very well-adjusted.
Well, she'd love that bit. We rewatched the two episodes today, and she loves that bit where he catches sight of Willow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he says his eyes just light up. He really gives it some in the acting. He doesn't change his face much. It's all done internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I had said that it's more for Joss to not to focus on outer beauty and more to focus on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... They're all pretty attractive in that show, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but they have to be. It's television. But, I mean, I just feel like he really casts usually, he casts the right person for the role instead of just a pretty person.
If you want to see how the fans feel about it, track down the original pilot on YouTube and the girl who plays Willow and just read all the comments about people saying she's too fat. Try that.
Yeah, but,
That'll cheer you up.
But I had heard that she wasn't an actress, and that she's
not very good. The fact she's slightly portly, to me, has no bearing on that whatsoever.
Yeah, but Angel's not a good actor either.
I only say that because I'm fat.
Go from there.
Really, that's the only reason. So if you were maybe, you know, less overweight, you wouldn't care about someone being picked on for their weight. Is that really the only reason, Chris?
Well, I say that, but no, I'm not gay either, but I don't like people being picked on for being gay either, so, you know, mm-hmm. You're right, I probably wouldn't like it either.
I think it's probably because you're probably an upstanding individual.
Not a douchebag.
Exactly.
I don't say douchebag very often in my regular life, so, or indeed the word regular in that way. Mm. I would tend to say normal, so there you go.
Is the word douchebag becoming more common over there in England?
In the same way that proms and high school reunions and things are becoming more common as well. Basically all the shit stuff.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's not your fault.
No.
Also the Jonas Brothers. Thanks.
Oh,
hey,
we're sorry.
My country's responsible for Justin Bieber. And Celine Dion. And Avril Lavigne.
Spice Girls, I don't know. Are N-dubs selling anything in the US yet? If they do, I apologize.
So, I have a point of revelation.
Go ahead.
Could not keep my eyes off of Giles's wooden nipple. The sweater he was wearing had a pocket on the left part of his chest, and the button keeping it closed looked exactly, it was positioned exactly where his nipple would be, as okay. I would imagine it to be, and I couldn't help think, what is Giles's wooden nipple doing out of his sweater?
I think you're just branching. I think you're just branching out.
That goes to show how compelling the episode was if you're putting all of
It was when they were talking all that blah, blah, blittily blah archaeology stuff. Oh, there's a symbol here about the second... Most of that stuff was all BS anyway. I should know. I studied it and then realized it was all BS and was slightly disappointed in that all that stuff was BS when I was at school. So that stuff didn't interest me very much. So I was basically looking around. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's this button on his chest and I don't know why it's there. Why is that there? I thought maybe it was like a little pin or
the
something.
The nubbin.
That's exactly right.
You see a thing, you hear a word. I thought that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So that distracted me for a little while.
Did anybody else find the episode, especially at the dance, like really intense?
It was
because
very
the way that Xander and Impala were looking at each other, it was quite. I think again, it makes me uncomfortable seeing it sometimes, and it just felt like the scene went on a little bit too long. It could be partially because of my ADD, but it was. I felt very. It was so intense, and I was like, "Whoa, this is a bit too much."
I think I'm just terrified of the concept of Xander sex.
Possibly, yes.
I know but I am. Especially when she's got that wrinkly arm.
Yeah, but he's used to female appendages not being what they should be.
Oh, poor God.
Seriously, poor Xander. Like, he must be, like, traumatized. Yeah.
Rachel does say that the mummy provides a good example why cap sleeves are no good for any woman over 20.
God.
Points, Gabby?
Xander does not know how to savor the deliciousness that is a Twinkie.
That's why you bring two.
Oh.
I know it's junk food. I know it's pure crap, but I'm sorry. They're delicious, and you don't just shove it in your mouth like that. You eat. You savor.
As part of Xander's, part of Xander's on the pool style. Xander on the pool is a terrible, terrible thing to witness.
Apparently,
Xander's.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. One of my points was that Xander's home life sucks.
they were going to sell him.
To Armenians.
To Armenians.
Who don't have that much money, typically. So
it sounds like Xander's having a quip there, and he may be altering the circumstances somewhat, but his home life is not that great.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Xander, he makes light of the situation. He tries to make jokes about how, you know, he tries to mask the pain with jokes.
Hmm.
Like Chandler.
Just like Chandler.
Just like Chandler.
Oh, no, it's Xandler again. The combined nervous energy.
That's perfect. Apparently, Maris Yahu went to Sunnydale High School.
And it's a horrible dancer.
It's a horrible, horrible dancer.
I was trying to work out how I could write down Grooving Jew without it sounding terrible, and I just didn't bother. But
Maris Yahu.
Mentioning Maris Yahu makes it all sound perfect.
Who is Maris Yahu?
Oh, Steph.
He's an Orthodox Jewish rapper.
And reggae.
Oh,
yes.
He's more reggae, I think, than rap, but he does both.
Mm-hmm. That kind of leads me into one of my other points, which you do hear some of in this episode, which is generic ethnic music.
Yeah, which just is, like the pack.
All Western television represents other cultures with the same kind of music. You have some drums, bit of pipe, and a kind of harmonic minor scale.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be in any part of Africa, particularly sort of Ethiopia and Egypt as well, the Aztecs
South
and the Mayans. Yeah, exactly. You could Aborigines, the lot, all sounding exactly the same. Ethnic music.
Did y'all recognize the bodyguard?
I did not.
He's Billy Black from Twilight.
This would be why I didn't recognize him.
Oh!
This would also be why I did not recognize him.
Yeah, because
you know there are like two Native American actors in Hollywood.
We have more than that in Canada.
Yeah, and so they have they both decided to enter a film series which depicts them really terribly.
Yes.
Why was Xander dressed like Marty McFly in Back to the Future 3?
Because that was his costume for the dance.
Okay. And he wished to double back again.
Probably.
I feel like we're missing so much because like this episode really had no substance.
But it was entertaining.
Like we're reaching for stuff to discuss, and it's like, ugh.
I found myself really amused by the big sign saying "Inca Princess" because it sounded like a reality show. Inca Princess coming this fall on UPN.
I mean, if it feels a little empty, I think it's because the episode wasn't very complex. It was pretty straightforward. No. It was very easily like. I don't think anybody would have a hard time making some kind of flash animation with bunnies summarizing this in a minute. It's a little formulaic.
A bit of horror fun, but as you say, it's meant to just reinforce the fact that Buffy's life ain't that great.
No. Yeah. And it's also teasing us that Xander is going to find love, and it's reinforcing for us that Xander is oblivious to Willow's feelings, and Willow is a sighing Eskimo. and it does, I guess, serve to introduce Oz and the fact that someone is going to most likely have feelings for Willow.
Somebody's going to appreciate Willow.
Yeah, so...
But I did enjoy the actual kiss scene that they had. I thought it was shot beautifully. Like, the silhouette. The and the eye right before they cut to commercial. And, like, I thought that was cute. But again, I feel so bad for Xander.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's falling for the wrong women.
Always. I kind of freaked out at the end when the mummy died and he's left with her arms.
Like, what the hell? He had the exact same reaction as when he picked up the tampon. It was the exact same reaction he had.
It was priceless.
They did bring up the whole Buffy dying and Xander bringing her back from the dead thing again, though.
Mm-hmm.
At the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that's probably super important because they keep bringing it back to us. Maybe that'll...
Well, they have to have some emotional beat at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that maybe they were just reaching for something to put there.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel pointed out something she liked in the episode because Xander comes to pick up, like, she never remember the name she goes under, but the mummy girl anyway, and it does Impala. This whole sort of Impala. I keep thinking Impala, you see, he's like a Chevy, and he does this whole sort of humming thing, but as he leaves, Buffy specifically tells him that he looks nice, which she said that you don't really get. It's always the guy always worries and tells the girl she looks nice, and no one ever actually tells him that. And she thought that was kind of cute.
It was.
So there!
How come fake Impada had lipstick, and then later she says she doesn't have lipstick?
She
What's
never...
With serious disappearing lipstick? When she was in the... When they were in the school and she went into the bathroom... Lipstick on, and
maybe
then
that's she lost it in the fight. She forgot it. Was it just me, or did she look
like
10 years
40?
Older when she came out of the bathroom?
Yes.
I don't know if the lighting was different, but she looked much, much older when she came out of the bathroom.
She was tarted up.
She was tarted up. Yeah.
I was sorry, I wasn't expecting to hear the phrase tarted up.
Yeah. Well, maybe it has something to do with the time period of the actual show, because a lot of shows, when they want to have teenagers, most times the cast really aren't teenagers. They're like a good 6 or 7 years older than what they're supposed to play. But she did look quite old.
But not the whole episode, though. As soon as she came out of that bathroom, she looked much, much older.
Yeah, because they kicked on the makeup. She was outside shoving Twinkies in her face. That's cute and adorable. Yeah. Then she comes out of the washroom.
Yeah, and then maybe the fluorescent lighting.
Yeah, not pretty.
No, no.
Poor Impada.
No.
But she had a lot of hair.
Yes.
So much hair.
I think it looked very much like mine did whenever I straightened it when it was long. And I feel for her having to spend 45 minutes every morning getting that bee's wasp's nest worth of hair into something presentable. My hat out. I tip my hat because that's unruly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, all in all, an episode with, you know, I guess it's a filler. I think we'd all agree.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought the story was compelling enough because it was very much an allegory to Buffy and Xander's, you know, no, of course not, foiled again. But no, I really liked it.
I'd say it's not a true filler because it does take the time to introduce Oz. So in that case, it serves a function in the greater scheme of things, and of course is part of the ongoing bizarre sort of triangle of Xander, Willow, and Buffy, and you know, their noughties.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, no Spike.
No.
I mean, if there's no Spike, to me, it feels like a filler because I'm expecting Spike to be. Mm-hmm. much more present and much more.
They teased you with Spike and they took him away again.
I know, totally. God. You know, yeah.
Ooh.
Am I the only one that isn't all that impressed with Spike?
But you've only had one appearance. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't that impressed, but I'm looking forward to more Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I know that he's there for, I think, the rest of the series. Just from what I recall watching back.
But obviously,
in the day,
you've just had him. Yeah, you just had him come in and talk like this, love, and his girlfriend, like, you know, I'm slightly bonkers, mate, and you know, obviously, you haven't got much to go on there.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
And, you'll notice that there's people who've watched much more of the series who have been very excited about the arrival of Spike, basically.
I think we got the most feedback for School Hard that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Is it likely that the Sunnydale High School would hold a world culture dance at the Bronze when they've got like a gym?
They throw everything at the Bronze, don't they?
Is in cahoots. Someone at the school board or in administration of the school is in cahoots with the owner of the Bronze.
It's very unlikely
because this business.
Yeah, you think it might be unrelated because there are two banners for the thing. The second one just is World Culture Dance at the Bronze, but the first one, big yellow one out the front of the schools, is SHS, World Culture Dance at the Bronze. So it is school-related. It's mad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So should we rate this episode?
Well, I was first saying, of all, Buffy's got a sinister doorbell. Is that bit where she opens the case and there's the desiccated guy inside and there's just terrifying cords and she just goes, oh, that'll be Xander and Willow.
Yep. I did want to bring...
When she opens that case later, the dead guy inside is like moved. He's facing the other way.
Well, Impada did lock it with quite a bit of force.
Bit uncomfortable. Oh, man. Anyway, what were you saying?
Before we rate the episode, I would like to bring up, since Chris is here, and Chris is one of the originators of Crack Watch on the 11th Hour podcast, and that's where I stole the idea of Bra Watch. just keep on giving me extra modulation work, Chris. Feel free.
What about that wonderful Bra Watch?
Any interesting Bra Watch-related news?
I think the next episode, definitely.
Oh, definitely. But this episode, not so much.
I don't know. There was a visible white bra through a black lace top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that next week's episode?
No, the opposite in next week's episode.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, my. But definitely not so much. Although I must say, I'm not looking at her chest. I'm actually paying attention to other things.
Yeah, like a wooden nipple.
Yeah. What does that say? I think I'm going to have to
question your
certain priorities. Darn it. Yeah, but yeah, I think it's a good time to rate.
Cool.
I'll go first. I give it a 4 out of 10.
Really, that low?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of this episode. The stuff that was good, but it dragged on for me, and when I had to watch it again the second time and make notes, I was just like, oh, when is this over? When is this over? Yeah. But I did like the kissing scene, so maybe I'll give it 5 out of 10.
Oh, moved up to 5.
Ooh. Go, Gabby.
I really hated this episode the first time I watched it. I gotta be honest. The second time, I liked it more, but that whole dancing scene made me uncomfortable, and I just skipped through it. So, but I liked the whole of the episode more. There was the bronze, so we know that I get my point for that. So, but all in all, I went from hating it to thinking the episode was just kind of eh. So I'm giving it 4 bra straps out of 10.
Well, I enjoyed it. I mean, it nothing groundbreaking. I thought it was pretty good. I give it 7.5 Twinkies out of 10.
Now, by Twinkies, do you mean individual Twinkies or packages of Twinkies? Because they do come in twos.
Individual Twinkies.
Thank you for my taking. Thank you for taking my question seriously. It was a serious question. Chris.
In honor of the ethnic music, I rate this episode an F minor major 7.
Because it's not a satisfying chord by itself. It's great on its way from chords to chords, but by itself, it's quite terrible.
I see what you mean.
And it's done in the harmonic minor scale, like all of the ethnic music.
Yes.
That is why it is F minor major 7.
Awesome. I enjoyed this episode, but having to think about it and realize how little we actually had to say about it kind of makes me rethink what I did think about the episode, which is interesting, right? Because do you rate it based on how you appreciated it, or do you rate it based on how much you could say about it, right? So in that vein, I think I'm basically just going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
It's a passing
felt.
Grade. Mm-hmm. It would have gotten a failing grade were it not for how much I enjoyed the content, but it definitely was a 6 out of 10 for me. Quotes, anyone?
Where are you from? The country of white trash? I'm a big fan of white trash / redneck jokes.
My own speechless human boomerang.
Sven.
We didn't mention Sven.
Oh, Sven.
Terrible. Sven, come.
But did Cordelia see a picture of him and think he was super hot? And then when he arrived, he was like,
may have been taken like 18 months before.
Yeah.
Piled it on a bit.
Well, he didn't speak American.
No.
Yes. No.
So.
But then later we see him speaking English to someone else.
He learned it, Cordelia.
You know, he chooses to whom he will communicate.
Correct.
Slaying entails certain sacrifices, blah, blah, bitty, blah. I'm so stuffy, give me a scone.
Give me a scone.
It's as if you know me. Would
there
you
really
like...
Aren't...
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, there really aren't enough coffee jokes for Giles.
No.
That goes down well in the UK and the US.
Yes.
He was in that coffee commercial series.
Oh, that's really confusing. I grew up with him. Sorry to interrupt the quotes. I grew up knowing him as the man from the Gold Blend adverts, the Nescafe Gold Blend, where he and Sharon Morm are yuppies who live next door to each other, and he says, you know, will Gold Blend be too good for your guests when she comes to pots some stuff of him? And then I found out he was in the Taster's Choice commercials. What I assumed was they were basically the same commercial, but with the you know, with retakes, so you can say Taste of Choice instead of Gold Blend, and with different pack shots. But I watched a couple on YouTube, and they're totally different adverts. Yeah. It's the same two people. He's doing an American accent, and the whole setup's completely different. And Trevor Eve was in one for some reason, except he's now married to Sharon Morm. I don't know if he was at the time, but there you go. Tedium. But that was a... If you want to see the British ones, you can see them on YouTube, I believe under the title Love Over Gold, because the Gold Blend advert was so popular, they released a little video of them all. Entitled Love Over Gold. So you can watch him romance Sharon Morm over a number of years with instant coffee, and then eventually tell her he loves her, which about 20 million people, I think, tuned in to watch that commercial.
We're
strange people.
Can I just say that if you enjoy instant coffee, I want nothing to do with you ladies. I will be looking elsewhere.
Romantic.
I replaced your coffee with Folgers crystals.
What?
Didn't have that advert either, but you know, we've learned. We learned shitloads of stuff.
Yes. Gabby, you want to give us your quote?
Would you like a drink?
All right, so I'm left. What kind of girl travels with a mummified corpse and doesn't even pack a lipstick?
Ah!
Nice. I avoided basically all the Xander ones I've written down because I assumed everyone would go for a Xander one.
But, Typical museum trick. Promise human sacrifice, deliver pots and pans.
You're not a praying mantis, are you?
That was a great one.
I'm from the country of Leone. It's in Italy, pretending to be Montana.
There's always this gem from Cordelia. Get punchy, you fruit drinky.
That was unnervingly accurate.
Thank you.
Awesome. We're in the crime club, which is kind of like the chess club, but with crime and no chess. I don't think I'm going to do those with accents anymore.
No.
That was one of my points of revelation that I didn't bring up. That Xander was so willing to tell Impada about the secret of their group, and they
He's
all gave
infatuated.
Him the look like,
oh. He loses all sense and priorities. Men who were infatuated at that age would make horrible members of the French resistance.
La resistance!
Exactly. It would be more hey, you know, if you want some coffee, I could tell you where my friends hang out at night in secret. Because they're secretly at night meeting to conspire against, you know, your boss. That's what would happen.
Bonne nuit, Monsieur Goebbels.
That would have been strange. Sorry. And in honor of the arrival of Oz, and you'll hear him say this a few more times. Who is that girl?
Is it always about the same girl?
Oh yeah. Oh come on, the world's cutest Eskimo. I'm going to say Inuit. I've written Eskimo / Inuit, so really? I don't offend anyone.
But they are two distinct peoples. Like I don't want to say that just Americans say Eskimo and Canadians say Inuit. It's actually two distinct people.
I did want to say Inuit, but Willow does herself say Eskimo in the episode. Yeah. It's the same way that when I write the film titled The Color Purple, I spell it without a U, because that's the title of the film.
But that's ridiculous.
But no... And same with Mystery Science Theater 3000. I put ER on theater because that's the title of it. Regardless of how I would normally spell that word, if I write it the way I would normally spell it, I'm then putting the title down inaccurately, and I'd rather not do that.
Agreed.
So there.
Agreed. Yeah.
Homework? Take your word for it.
Oh, okay. Next week, Reptile Boy.
Awesome. It's a fairly... That's a fairly decent gender split, isn't it? Income mummy girl, reptile boy.
It's keeping it all balanced.
Yes.
Listeners, if you'd like to send us some feedback, some comments, some questions, feel free to send it to us via the email at
11th hour podcast. Oh, sorry.
Now you have to spell out 11th with the word, right? You don't write at 1th.
No, it's 11th hour. So you've got to be careful with the two H's.
You 11th do have two H's, don't you?
Hour, yes.
11th hour. You say it like French Canadians say it. That mystery H that pops up when it shouldn't.
Kelly.
The potential cast email address is
potentialcast@gmail.com.
You could also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. Feel free to go to potentialcast.com, or if you have more time on your hands, potentialcast.blogspot.com. And to check out the show notes, to subscribe via iTunes or any other podcatcher you'd like to subscribe to, you can comment on each individual episode and leave stuff there. You can send us emails. You can call us. You feel free to call us, 270-40-BUFFY. It's maybe long distance for you. I don't know how that works out. As far as I'm concerned, most people in the United States with cell phones don't have to pay for long distance anymore. Is that true? That's all included in most plans?
As far as I know.
Yeah. Yeah. We still have to pay long distance. Like if I wanted to call Kim, I'm paying long distance. It's ridiculous. But yeah, feel free to let us know what you think about the shows we're talking about, but also about our shows too. We appreciate all kinds of feedback. We just don't read the negative stuff.
I do, and I reply.
Kim will tear you a new one. So be careful. So Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Chris. I gotta stop saying that. However, you are all welcome.
Thank you. We really do appreciate that, and by that I mean we can stay with you anytime we like.
That's all right. I have tried to lay off the Ghostwatch voice as much as possible.
And for those who have no idea what Ghostwatch is, would you care to enlighten us?
Well, the actual Ghostwatch, or my, this is how I got started in podcasting, was I used to send stupid voicemails to the Lost Initiative podcast, my first ever regular podcast, and still one of the best. Aww. So there.
All right, everyone. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, girl.
Girl, and indeed, arg. I killed that episode. Sorry, everyone.
Side of me, love remains a drug that's high enough to feel. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen? Baby, I can pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain, baby. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a light and the light that you shine can't be seen?
so much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a large and the light that you shine can't be seen.
Look, just don't bore people with Doctor Who. They're here to talk about Buffy.
All right.
Yes, please.
Oh, sorry, Kim. Would you rather we talk about Littlest Hobo?
There's the voice. Keeps on calling me down the road. It's where I'll always be. Every step I make a new friend. Do something else. Don't turn around. There's something. What's it? Yeah. Maybe tomorrow I want it. Then I'll better stop that.